Welcome to Life Skills for Kids, Superstar Practical Strategies, your go-to podcast for surviving and thriving with your children. I'm your host, Deb Hopper, and as a parent and an occupational therapist, I understand the reality of getting through each day with the kids. Join me as we delve into tips, tricks, and strategies that you can use today. Hi, and welcome to the Life Skills for Kids podcast. I am here today with the beautiful Nicole Santa Maria from Miami in the US. So welcome, Nicole.
Hi there. Thank you so much, Deb. Glad to be here.
It is lovely to have you here, and I am enjoying lapping up your accent again. I've missed the US accent since we came back from holidays.
Oh, well, I love your accent. So we'll have an accent love affair. Perfect.
Sounds great. Okay. So Nicole, do you want to tell us quickly about your business, and then we'll get into our topic for today?
Sure. So I'm the founder of Miami Handwriting, and I work with a lot of children in my private clinic, and they come see me for handwriting issues. But as we know, as being OTs, it's usually never only, you know, handwriting doesn't exist in a little compartment. So I end up helping them a lot with school struggles, helping the families on how to work with them with handwriting, motor skills, even executive skills. And of course, I work a lot with teachers as well. And I think I also go into the charter schools here in Miami. So I do spend a lot of times in the charter schools, in the elementary classrooms. So I feel like I get a good perspective from the parents in the office, in the clinic setting, and the kids in a clinic setting. And then I get to see what happens in school from teachers. And I get to see those same kids in a classroom setting versus in a clinic setting or an office setting. So I feel like I get a very good perspective onto how the two work together.
Yes, because our kids can present very differently, can't they, between, you know, home, school, and the clinic, because the classroom is very different with the sensory and the environmental impacts, which impact on handwriting.
Absolutely. And the children present differently, but more than the children presenting differently, the adults kind of have a hard time understanding and getting the perspective of the other. The parent sometimes has a hard time understanding the perspective of the teacher, and the teacher has a hard time understanding the perspective of the parent. So I'm kind of in the middle of like, everybody's doing the best they can, the best they can. They really are. And they are, you know, it's just one's in the classroom and one's at home. So I feel like working together and being part of that team is the best way to help the child or the student.
Absolutely.
One of us can't do it alone.
Yes. Yes. So something that impacts on handwriting is often the way that we are seated for writing.
Yeah, definitely. There's a whole piece of posture that comes into play. There's the whole piece of, you know, are you engaged in what you're doing? Is your attention into what you're doing? Do the children care, right? Are they engaged enough to want to write whatever they're being, you know, asked to write or produce, right? Then you have the other piece, if it's like, you know, they're struggling with the content, like getting the ideas from their head onto their paper. They're so exhausted, but by the time they get it on their paper, you know, that's, they already took a long time trying to come up with the ideas. And then we have the visual motor skills, if they're copying from the board, and then if they're listening to a teacher give them instructions or taking down notes. So there's really so much involved in handwriting that I think people don't. OTs realize it. We get it, right? I think a lot of times the rest of the people don't get there.
Yeah.
So I think these conversations are really good for sharing and letting everybody know what all the things are that the child that struggles with handwriting is actually going through.
That's right. Yeah. So let's talk a little about, you mentioned posture, and today we're going to talk about flexible seating and how that might help kids who are struggling with handwriting. So can you tell me, what is flexible seating?
Yeah, so definitely. So flexible seating, again, since I'm in the schools, you know, sometimes I'll have parents say, oh, can they use the flexible seating in the classroom? And sometimes I'll have teachers want to use flexible seating in the classroom. And sometimes me as an OT, I'll be like, hey, let's try these different ways of seating in the classroom. So I always like to start off with what is flexible seating. And I kind of just like took all the fanciness out of it. And I just left the bare bones. To me, flexible seating is most useful when we look at it as another way that we can sit that's not with a regular chair, like a stable chair and a desk. Anything outside of a regular chair and a desk, we can call it flexible seating. They could be standing up, they could have a fancy flexible seating chair, or they could just literally be standing up in the back of the classroom. And we can, that's all flexible seating just as well. So I think that's important for us to know, because you know, sometimes you have a school that has a beautiful budget and they can get all the fancy stuff that we see in the therapy catalogs. And sometimes we don't have a fancy budget, but we can definitely layer in the flexible seating. You know, the goal of flexible seating is just so that they can be engaged in learning and receiving what they need and you know, putting it out if it is on paper or orally. So that's really what we have to stick to, you know, knowing that it's not this big fancy thing and what's the goal behind it. The goal of flexible seating isn't to get a child used to sitting in a ball chair. The goal of flexible seating is to have a child be able to attend so that he can, and be engaged and regulated so that he can learn. That's it. That's the only goal.
Yep.
Right? Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And one time, I'll share this little story. One time I walked into, it was a first grade class. And here in Florida, we have general ed classrooms. So it was a general ed class. Some children in there had IEPs and 504s. And every single child had a bouncy ball chair.
Wow.
Which leads us to my other point, is that the flexible seating should be an option. A lot of kids do very well sitting in a regular chair and a regular desk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I walked into that classroom and I was like, wow, this is like, so it's 20, we have 20 green therapy balls in this classroom with middle first graders. So, you know, she was definitely trying something different, but again, we're missing that option. It's no longer optional when the only chair we have is a green therapy ball.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And you can look up YouTube, you know, therapy balls in classroom or fit balls in classroom, and you can get a few different, you know, there's a few news clips on there which talk about the benefits of learning, and that's great. But I love how you talk about having different options. A local story from me, there is an amazing classroom here in my hometown, and they have tall sitting, they have standing stations, they have a couch, a lounge in the middle of the room, bean bags, you know, those hokey stools, normal seating with move and sit cushions on them. So in there, they do have loads of different options. Yeah, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I definitely think the options are good and important.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So how would we choose some options for a particular child? Yeah, how are we going to know that it might be helpful?
So definitely, like you mentioned, there's so many options. We can Google, YouTube, Amazon. If you type in flexible seating, you're going to get so many that you're going to be overwhelmed and not know what to pick. So I think this is a perfect lead into, let's talk a little bit about the sensory systems that we're trying to tap into to regulate. Remember, our goal, if we go back to what our goal is to have the child engaged, regulated, so that they can learn. Our goal is not for them to tolerate the bouncy ball chair. Our goal is not for them to balance on that hokey stool. I have seen children fall off that hokey stool. The T stool, right?
Oh, they've been harder.
Yeah. So clearly, if that child's concentrating so hard to keep their body on this, they're not engaged or regulated to learn.
Yeah.
So keeping in mind the sensory system and what we're trying to engage really helps us pick what we want to have in the classroom. So we can go over just briefly the systems and kind of share how that looks in flexible seating. So of course, we have the vestibular system, which is what gives us a little bit of movement that tells us where our body is in space to keep us organized and regulated. So that would look like a rocker chair. You can't see me, but I'm actually in a swivel chair that has bungees. So it does allow for a little bit of movement. It can be as little as having the wiggle cushion will give you a little bit of movement as well. So if we're trying to get these kiddos that have the wiggles and they're in a regular chair and they're rocking the chair on the back legs. You know how they go like that, and they're at risk of falling. Those are the children that might benefit from some vestibular input while they're sitting mm-hmm. in their chair. And then that overlaps a lot with the proprioceptive system, which is what gives us the input to our muscles and our joints. Again, also tells us where our body is in space. And that would look a lot like the wiggle cushion. It would look a lot like the bouncy ball. The bouncy ball more, because it would give you a little more movement to engage you and engage your systems. And then there's some that are not so obvious, right? We have sound, right? So we have our auditory input. And sometimes walking through a classroom, it's so noisy and there's so many things happening that it becomes really distracting for a child that is over-responsive with their auditory system. So introducing things like white noise in the background, classical music in the background, some teachers, if they really want to be daring, will let children listen to music while they are. And again, it's not for all students, right? Some students will regulate with certain kinds of music. So we can't play certain kinds of music for the whole class, because what's going to calm me down is going to dysregulate you, right? So we always have to keep in mind, like, the you, the me, and the we. We have to do what's best for we in the classroom. So that's where headsets come into place, because and there's tons of research and articles on how music and certain beats per minute can organize and regulate people for learning. We also have the visual system, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling this is a lot of what goes into your 20-day detox.
That's right, yes.
Classroom detox?
Yes.
If you're like me and we walk into a classroom and there's all sorts of stuff everywhere, like, you know, the teacher will be talking to me and my eyes will be looking at all the things she has. You know, whereas, you know, if I'm trying to copy homework with a student sometimes, you know, since I'm not familiar with the classroom, I can't find the homework because there's so many things on the board and number charts and 100 boards. So keeping in mind that how stimulating visual input can be, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That one is definitely very difficult to control, because sometimes, at least here in the States, we have mandated they have to have certain things on display. So keeping that in mind is also important for the kids too. You know, lighting, that's where I was going to go with this, lighting. So if you have sunlight is a lot more soothing and a lot more calming than sometimes fluorescing lighting. Now they have LED lights in the classrooms, which I think really help. They're better than the fluorescent lightings.
Yeah, because the fluorescents, they have that flickering, which is really dysregulating for everybody.
Yes, exactly.
And there's also glare, you know, glare coming in from that natural light through the windows and, you know, on the whiteboard or the smart board, that can be really distracting and it's hard to actually see what's being displayed.
Definitely. And a lot of the kids that I work with have that accommodation that they have to be seated near the board, right? But sometimes they're so near the board that they can't actually see it. So sometimes even just letting the children get up and move and like grab a clipboard or stand up to copy their homework so they can see it in a better angle, that technically is flexible seating, right? Because you're being flexible, you're out and out from your regular chair. And the last one I really wanted to chat about was the sense of smell. Because now we have, at least here in Florida, the diffusers with the essential oils are very, very popular. And I've seen them in classrooms. So having orange and citrus, which is stimulating and gives you energy, might help them stay attend to a longer task, you know. And I have seen them in some classrooms. More some smaller private schools, I've seen diffusers in the classroom. Actually, just today, I have a little boy, I guess his mother uses essential oils. So she sent him to school with a lavender scented like washcloth. Mm-hmm. And he has it with him and he breathes it throughout the day.
Yeah. And that's great. He says it
calms him down. And, you know, I'm not sure if it does. His lavender, and this is something that's important to share, is that so his lavender, when it just gets refilled, is very strong.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the intent is to calm him down. But for example, we can all smell his lavender essential oil. And we all don't like as much as
we. Yeah.
So keeping in mind that you, me, and we, it has to be good for everybody. So, you know, I think knowing what you want your student to to experience. If they're always covering their ears because it's too noisy, well, they might be the student that you want to give them a headset, right? If they're the ones that are always jumping out of their seat, well, let them have a standing table, you know, a center where they could stand. So I think those are the things you kind of have to look for so that you can really make better choices for them.
Yep. Yep. With the essential oils, they can be really calming, but you need to be careful that people aren't allergic. Like my sister is highly allergic to anything that has lavender in it. So
really interesting.
We can't have anything that has lavender.
Yeah, I don't like his little lavender sachet. When he's with me, he has to put it away.
Yes.
Because I don't know that I'm allergic, but I definitely don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay, cool. So we've talked about having a variety of different flexible seating in the classroom so that children can, I guess, you know, change it up during the day or, you know, have options for themselves.
Definitely, it's important to have options, and knowing a little bit about the sensory system is good when you're choosing the options. I will say, when it comes to options, you know, it's good to keep it simple. Like if we're going to get rocker chairs, let's get the same color. Like you almost have to pre-think of how could this go wrong, right?
Yes.
So if you have 6 different rocking chairs and 6 different colors, then we may have different children saying, well, I don't like the color red.
Mm.
I like the color blue. And we only have 1 blue one. So almost like, let's think of how many ways can this go wrong before and take it from there. So I think that's a good thing to keep in mind. And also when we introduce it, let's give them rules. Let's preview what it will look like. Let's introduce it to them so that it's successful. Because so many times, and maybe this has happened to you also, that we're like, oh, we tried that and it didn't work. And then when we dig a little deeper, it was kind of just like thrown to the students. Here it is. And I've also seen this, that you have all this equipment or chairs or wheel cushions and they're in the corner, because they're not really quite sure how to use it. And when they did use it, it wasn't magic. So that means it doesn't work. So they kind of put it away in the corner.
And I think you need to give it a couple of weeks for kids just to, you know, have a go at things for a few times and decide, you know, which is the most useful for them, what's the most comfortable, what feeds their sensory system, their nervous system the most. Yeah, it does take a little, you know, trial and error.
And one of the rules that I do tell the teachers, if ever I'm bringing anything into the classroom, this isn't a reward or a punishment. So, because sometimes they'll automatically be like, okay, well, if you're good, well, whoever's quiet gets the next wiggle cushion or gets the next band. And that kind of defeats the purpose, because chances are the student that really needs the band or the wiggle cushion is the one that, you know, is quote unquote, looks like he's misbehaving. So I tell them to introduce it with no judgment. Almost make it like it's going to get passed around through the students. Everybody will get a turn. If you like it, you let me know. If you don't like it, you let me know too. So, you know, if we want to start with Johnny, because he's the one who can't sit in his seat, well, let's not start with him. Let's start with somebody else. Let's start with the quiet one first. So that they can get used to it, because then there's also, you know, the student that needs it, he doesn't want to use it because maybe he may be a little embarrassed. He doesn't want to be the only one. So definitely introduce them of the same color, get more than one, and let the students know that it's for everyone in the classroom. And it's not a punishment. It's not because you were misbehaving, and it's not a reward. It's neutral. It has to be like a neutral. And I think those are really important, and those things are make it successful for the teacher once it's introduced that way.
And I like how you mentioned having the same color, but for a different reason. I think if we had, like, you know, different colors for each different seat, that's going to be so overwhelming visually as well. It's going to be too much.
Exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately, they don't make too much flexible seating materials in like beige. Or there's no neutral, like a very light baby pink. No, it's all like red and blue and purple, and exactly.
But that's fun, and kids like those fun colors. So I think it's just, yeah, being wise. I went to a center one time a few years ago, and they had so much color on a different color for each of the walls and different for the trim and for the furniture. It was very overwhelming.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot. And sometimes there's a lot of storage, extra storage in the classrooms. And yeah, so, you know, a classroom is a very overstimulating environment. So introducing, again, some of these things so that there's choices is a good way to keep the kids organized. But it's hard to sit on some of this equipment. Like, it's hard to sit on a therapy ball for a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I've seen lots of teachers or even the principals, they have a ball themselves, just so that it's demonstrated that these things are for everybody.
Well, it's definitely a great tool that we have, but I think, you know, introducing it in the right way definitely makes all the difference. When I was preparing for our call, I have a video series on YouTube, and it kind of goes over the steps on flexible seating.
Fantastic. We'll definitely put a link.
Definitely, you can find that on the Miami Handwriting YouTube channel. And there will be, because I know we talked about a lot of things, I'll have a one-page sheet that you can share with whoever's listening to this. And it's like a flexible seating cheat sheet, how to introduce flexible seating into your classroom. And it kind of goes over everything that we talked about it. So I'm happy to share that with you guys.
That's fantastic. And this is very relevant. You know, all that we've spoken about is all in my classroom detox course as well. So we'll put a link to that as well in there.
Yeah. What are the highlights of your classroom detox?
Oh, so we go into all the different sensory parts of the classroom, and, you know, visual is probably about a quarter of the course because there's so many different aspects of visual. We go into the auditory and, you know, what that means, and the playgrounds and the seating, of course.
I love, and it's for teachers, right?
It is for teachers, yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on the Life Skills for Kids podcast. It was lovely to have you, and I would love to have you back sometime.
Of course, I would love to be back.
Great. Thank you so much, Nicole.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for joining me on the Life Skills for Kids podcast, providing you with superstar parenting tips and empowering you to be the rock in your child's life. Do you have an anxious child and feel overwhelmed and unsure how to help them? Check out my book, Teaching Kids to Manage Anxiety, Superstar Practical Strategies, to help your anxious child move from fear and worry to confidence and peace. See you next time.